every time we go to the grocery store or to one of the farm markets or outdoor markets that we've been going to in recent times, we see that there are many different fruits available. It's almost like they place them when you walk into the grocery store in a great big display, all the different fruits and all the different colors. It kind of reaches the senses, doesn't it? And kind of gives you a different feeling walking into a grocery store, that we see all these different kinds of fruits, different varieties of the individual fruits and the different colors, all created for unique purposes. We see apples, grapes, and oranges, and so on and so forth. And we come to remember when we're making comparisons how people will use the old cliche or saying that we need to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, stating that you can't compare the two because they're different. They're made for different purposes. The end result of each one is different, you see. So we need to compare things that are the same, apples to apples and oranges to oranges. These fruits look different, they taste different, they have different effects on us when we eat them, and they grow differently. And it's much like the religions of Paul's day, as well as our day today. There are many, many different religions in our world today and in our culture, even in our own community of Elamsport. It's almost like walking into the produce section of a grocery store anymore. And many people like that because they can go and they can select the religion that they like, something that they're drawn to, something they like the taste of or the flavor of, and that's what they confess and sign up for in their faith journey. These are some of the issues that Paul dealt with in the early church in his journeys. As I thought about this a little bit over this past week, I thought that this could be compared to cross-pollination. One of the deals Paul dealt with, especially in the churches in Asia Minor, which are now Turkey, I'm talking about Laodicea, Ephesus, Colossae, and those churches, was cross-pollination. There were other religions that had infiltrated Christianity, and they had sort of this yucky mix going on there. And this cross-pollination of religions led to misconceptions among the people, especially the Christians. It led to confusion, and it was a result of the teachings of false teachers of Paul's day in those places. And these teachings and these false teachers were propagated by difficult people. So Paul, as you read through Paul's letters and through the New Testament, you see two of the most prevalent problems Paul dealt with was false teachers and difficult people. And he wrote the letters to these churches, to the believers in these specific places, to deal with these issues and to help keep the people focused on Jesus Christ. Because the challenge then, as it is now, or as it should be now, is to live our lives as Christians in a way that's pleasing to our Lord and King Jesus. Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae was to encourage them and to help them refocus and to remind them that true Christian living is founded on the gospel and nothing else. You don't bring other doctrines in, you don't bring other religions in, you don't bring other beliefs in. We have to stay focused on Christ and the gospel. He makes clear the importance of holding the gospel dear and that it created and creates now a community marked with faith, hope, and love. That's the gospel, and that's what it creates when it's truly in the heart of a believer or a Christian. It creates faith, hope, and love, and helps us to refocus on the author of our faith, is Christ Jesus. I was watching some of the women's college softball tournaments on television recently. And the other evening I was watching, and there was a player on first base, and there was a batter up to bat, and the pitcher, who was the star pitcher for that particular team, was doing really well. And the girl on first base, A girl was batting, the girl was pitching, wound up, and she pitched the ball, and the batter acted like she was gonna bunt it, and she missed the ball, and as she missed the ball and the catcher caught the ball, the umpire yelled, "Strike three." And what that did, it caused the catcher to become unfocused, and also the pitcher. In terms of the pitcher just kind of turned to the side, thinking that nothing else was going on, but the runner on first base started to run to second, steal second, and the catcher was so distracted and lost focus because of the umpire yelling strike three, that when she threw the ball out to second base, to the second baseman, or the shortstop actually, to tag the runner trying to steal second, she threw the ball and it hit the girl that was pitching right in the face and flattened her on the ground. It's a horrifying thing to watch. All because they had lost focus for a split second in that game. They were distracted. And exactly the same thing was going on in Paul's day and is going on in our day today. Christians have become distracted by the culture, by all kinds of things that have caused us to lean away from or veer away from the gospel and lose focus on Jesus. Paul was emphasizing here in this letter and in others that the focus of the church will always result in the fruit of the church. I'm going to say that again. The focus of the church will always result in the fruit of the church, good or bad. The focus of the church will always result in the fruit of the church, good or bad. Paul himself wrote Colossians as well as Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon. He wrote them from prison in Rome when he was imprisoned. We'll talk about that later on as we get through the book of Colossians. There were many issues in this church. In my Bible study notes, it tells us that there was heresy. Paul's emphasis on the gospel was counter-emphasized. There was false teaching. There was teaching that was syncretistic. I'll talk about that. Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation, Oriental mysticism, the worship of angels, circumcision rites, the practice of asceticism stemmed from the belief that the body was evil. There was all this stuff going on that many of the people, the Christians, didn't even understand then, and they don't now. And I think that's frankly part of the problem, that we don't understand some of these things. But there were these heresies going on in Paul's day. I hear so many people today say, well, I take a little from each religion, I take the good from each religion, and I combine them together, and that's my religion. And I say, you have no religion, because you are not truly committed to anyone. And when people say, well, we're all worshiping the same God, I look at them in horror, and I say to myself, you don't know what you're saying. Because in all of the religions, they are not worshiping the same God, or there wouldn't be the different religions, per se. And it's become this great big mess in Christian church today. The church in Colossae was founded by Epaphras. Epaphras evangelized the Lycus Valley in what's modern-day Turkey. Colossae, I believe, was 100 miles east of Ephesus, and many believe that as Paul was in Ephesus and he was preaching there and he was thrown out of the synagogue, he went to preach in the Hall of Tyrannus, which was a lecture hall in that day, and that the word spread all throughout that area of Asia Minor. And many think that the gospel then spread just 100 miles to Colossae, Paul's message of the gospel. But Epaphras was the one who went there and literally evangelized that Lycus Valley and that town of Colossae. It was an important trade route, Colossae was. In what's modern Turkey today, it was a trade route between Ephesus and the Euphrates. So you know what that meant. It meant there were a lot of different cultures and religions coming down the pipe, so to speak, through Colossae, dumping all of their goods and dumping all of their ideas, philosophical and theological also. It had a cosmopolitan feel to it, with differing ethnicities and a significant Jewish population. And as Paul writes to them, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints." Because of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Now, what's Paul saying to them here? First of all, he's talking about the witness of the church there. The church in Colossae had such a witness, not just within Colossae, but all over the then known area and world. The witness was they had faith in Christ and love for other Christians. Not that they did all kinds of great works and built great buildings and were very intelligent people, but they had faith in Christ and love for other Christians. So what Paul is saying to them in encouragement is, good job. You're doing a great job. You have faith in Christ and love for other Christians. And this sprouted from the seed of gratefulness of resurrection hope. He said it sprung from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven. In other words, they had hope that there was a place prepared for them that they would go in the kingdom of heaven when they left this earth. And that faith made them grateful to God for his grace that God chose them to hear the gospel and promised them that place. And this hope, this resurrection hope that sprung from the gospel or the word of truth, altered their attitude and their actions. You see, ultimately, if your attitude is changed, your actions are going to be changed. And their attitude was changed because they all of a sudden realized, wow, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that we're not going to die, but we're forgiven of our sins in Jesus Christ. And when we die, we're going to be resurrected up. It gave them an attitude of thanksgiving and love for other Christians. And this was rooted in the gospel message that was sown by the Holy Spirit. It was stored up for them in heaven. They've already heard about it in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to them. They were thankful that they had heard the message, that God had brought the message to them, that God had revealed himself to them in Jesus Christ and through his word, and that they were now recipients of the glorious hope of the resurrection. These were people that probably were very downcast in their society, probably had little hope in their culture of that day. They didn't really have anything to live for, so to speak, until the gospel came. And it totally altered their attitude and their actions. And it was rooted in the gospel message sown by the Holy Spirit. Our culture today is literally digging and digging and digging to try and find hope somewhere. Somewhere new, always new, a new thing to give us hope. And in the dust or in the pile that's left behind from the digging lies the gospel buried as our world loses hope. The gospel that Paul shared didn't even include the New Testament. But as he shared his own experience with Jesus Christ, these people were changed. They started to learn about the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it all was a result of the gospel message. And it was a very powerful thing that was taking place. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit. It's growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. In other words, what he's saying to them is the fruit was the fruit of not only hearing, but understanding God's grace. The result of their witness was like fruit. It was beneficial, it was edifying, it was enjoyable. But it wasn't a mixed up fruit, it was the gospel fruit and the gospel fruit alone. And Paul will get into these other teachings here later on. But he's saying, I thank God for your witness and how your witness has been such a great message to everyone around you. People have heard about your faith in Christ and your love for the other Christians. And it's like fruit. It's beneficial. It's enjoyable. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the gospel message. And lastly, it was true grace. It was true grace. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it did among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You see, other religions, folks, do not present grace. You subscribe to another religion, and I will guarantee you, you'll be doing works, you'll be going places, you'll be doing things, doing, working. And the Bible teaches us we're saved by God's grace through faith. Christianity is the only religion that presents the grace of God. What's God's grace? Grace is a gift to an undeserving recipient. Grace is a gift to an undeserving recipient. Has there ever been a human being in this world that deserved salvation and eternal life in the kingdom of God? And the answer is no, except Jesus, of course. But the graces that God has offered it to us freely. And they were thankful for that. And their thankfulness was evident to other people because it changed them. And other people wanted to be like them. They wanted to have what the Colossians had. And Paul was grateful and thanked God for this because they had not only heard the gospel, but they understood it in all its truth. Now, that's not saying they understood all of the doctrines, but they understood that they didn't deserve God's forgiveness and grace, but God offered it to them freely because he loves them. And this one true God who loves the unlovable and offers grace to all human beings. How could it be? It was true grace. Grace only God offers. What does grace do? If you really understand true grace and understand the depth of God's offer of grace to you in Jesus Christ, it should make you thankful. God didn't have to tell you. He didn't have to tell one of us here this morning about Jesus Christ. He didn't have to connect any of us here this morning with someone who already knew Jesus or this church or the Bible or any of that. He didn't have to do that. And you say, well, I did that. No, you did not. You did not come to God on your own. And Paul will teach us that as we go along. It's by God's grace that little by little he gives us a taste of himself. He reveals himself to us. He speaks to us. And little by little we come to know him and we come to understand there's somebody out there that really loves me. And we start to explore. And if we go down the right avenues, we find it's the one true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's true grace that they found. Grace makes us thankful. Thank you, God, that you chose me because he didn't have to. He didn't have to. And if he doesn't, we are on a downward spiral in life to a world where none of us wants to live for eternity of fire and death. We say, no, I chose. No, you didn't choose. If you really study the Bible and understand the doctrines of the sovereignty of God and the grace of God, don't take God's sovereignty and power away from him by saying, I chose. Give God the glory. God, you chose me. Thank you, God. You chose me. I didn't deserve it. Why did you choose me, God? And the ultimate answer is love, grace. You see. Paul told the Romans, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said to them, you heard the word of truth. He said, we have redemption in Christ through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God made known to us the mystery of his will. We didn't make known to God. Here's your plan, God. God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Jesus. In other words, the purpose for Jesus, God made known to us. And then he put it into effect at the proper time. And in Christ, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of God who works on everything in conformance with the purpose of his will. When we take credit for our faith in Jesus Christ, we're saying, God, it's not your will, it was my will. And that's not what the Bible tells us. He told the Ephesians, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. How did they hear it? They didn't go digging. God explained it to them through the evangelism of Epaphras and Paul. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, but having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So they heard it, and then they had a responsibility to respond, and they respond positively in faith and believed. And when they believed, they were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You know what that says, folks? And you know what that said to the believers in Colossae? That when we come to know Jesus Christ, we're guaranteed a place in the kingdom of heaven that cannot be taken away from us. We don't lose our salvation because we belong to someone who's more powerful than the enemy that's trying to take it away from us. We're his possession. And ultimately, it was the working of the Spirit of God in the believers there. Remember Paul's prayer? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God. He finishes by saying, you learned this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God and the believers there that Paul's thankful that God reached them and that they heard this message and believed it. These are the characteristics and qualities of the follower of Christ or the Christians. And Paul noted that these came not from the false teachings or cross-pollination from other religions of the day, but from God's truth and grace that came through the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And their faith in Christ and their love for others was evidence that something had changed in them. Do you know why there's not a lot of people coming to church in our day and age? Because the culture doesn't see a change in us. They don't see us as any different than the rest of the culture or the rest of the world out there. I say, well, why do I need to go there? They're no different than I am. The gospel was the inner driving power of the Christians there, and it not only affected them, but it was affecting the whole world. Could it be that the church today has lost its witness and its effectiveness because it's lost its focus and it's forgotten the gospel message, and instead it's adopted an alternate message? That the culture presents? Or maybe it's replaced truth with tolerance and acceptance. Because the church in 2019 has become a victim of cross-pollination, and instead we've replaced truth with tolerance and acceptance. I'm not saying being mean, but what I am saying is, rather than sharing the gospel with someone else, we just simply tolerate them and accept them. Two terms come to mind today that dominate our culture: relativism and syncretism. Same things going on in Paul's day. Relativism is, well, you have your religion and I have mine, but the Bible's not relative to my life. It doesn't mean the same to me as it does to you, and that's false, that's heresy. The second is syncretism, where people say, well, we take all of the good teachings of all of the books and all the religions and we put them together, and that's what we believe, so we all need to coexist. I call this coffee house Christianity. Let's just all go have a cup of coffee together and just relax and just get along. And the gospel is put in the back on the back burner while we sit, and we laugh, and we engage in cultural conversation. These were two issues of Paul's day, and he encourages the believers in Colossae, and hopefully he's going to encourage us regarding what it means to live in Christ and stand firm in our faith. May God's Spirit guide us through Paul's teaching and alter our attitudes and actions so that we may live our lives pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Amen.